3,300 together once more. Just any day now our Lord is coming. Thought those songs were very fitting today with Dad picked, and you might pick it out here soon, but we'll see. Just any day now our Lord is coming. He'll be returning. You gotta believe it now. For you and me. Oh, I've been overwatching, Lord, waiting for you to come. And I've been waiting just any day now. Oh, I believe it, Lord. His face. I think we got that. Now let's give him praise. Let's worship him. Let's believe it. Oh, just any day now, our Lord is coming. Hallelujah, Lord. Returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting just any day now. His face. I want to sing it one more time with our hand raised, giving praise to God. Oh, just in, with all your hearts now. Hey, now we believe, Lord, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning. Oh, I believe, Jesus, for you and me. Hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the promise of your coming, Lord Jesus.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
We know what the Bible says. Said the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And he that is athirst say, come. Let's open our Bibles together. I believe he's coming. He's coming sooner than we could ever imagine. And for the church, that's the most glorious thing that could happen, is that Christ would come take us home. Amen. It just needs to be reality in our lives today. Mark chapter 11. I might wrap up this thought. We'll see what the Lord does. We got part 5 today. Everybody got joy this morning? Amen. Amen. All right. Just making sure, you know. Want smiles out there, like Dad said. Dawson, you going to praise him today? Look at that, still shocked, but that's okay. Mark chapter 11, let's read this together. Or I'll read it, just read it with me. Chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now, did it say that the Lord said these things? No, it says the man that is asking, whatever he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Yes.
Therefore, I say unto you, come on, brother. Brother Kent, praise the Lord. Everybody happy?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, Jesus. I'm so glad. I just love seeing that brother's face. Mark chapter 11, brother. Is it all right if I start over? Is that okay?
Yes.
Everybody all right with that? Okay, let's go back, brother. Mark chapter 11. Verse 22, we're going to read that one more time. I'm okay with reading the word twice. All right? I've read this Bible I don't know how many times. I'm probably on 10 now, and it's still just as fresh to me as it was the first time I read it. Amen. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass.
Amen.
He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have
Amen.
Them.
Amen. That's true.
Perfect atonement by a perfect husband produces a perfect bride. Part 5, the revelation of perfect faith. Everybody get that? The revelation of perfect faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've read your word. And Lord, these words are so powerful, so mighty. But only when the Spirit comes and quickens it to us, Father. We pray that all unbelief in our hearts would just be eradicated. Every thought contrary to this word, Father, would just depart out of this place, Lord. And we'd give our full attention, all our hearts' desire, directly to you, Father. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. May you just come and have your way in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Before I really get started, I want to share something that happened to me because I think this might bless you if like it blessed me. This past Wednesday at service, you know, I had a pretty eventful week before this. You know, in and out of the hospital. We had Brother Josh here last weekend, so we're running around, you know, entertaining them, being with the brothers and things like that. So we had a pretty involved week. When I came to service Wednesday, you know, I was sitting back there and I started thinking about how tired I was, how much I kind of wanted just to lay down for a little bit. Oh, little Tora, she's fine. Don't worry about it. Just needs a little daddy time. That's all right. But I was sitting back there in service thinking about how tired I was and how, you know, I really just wanted to lay down and take a good nap. And what happened to me is something that I can't say I've ever had it happen to me in church before. When I've come to church, I've recognized that this is where God said He will come down and speak to us. This is where He said we could raise up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We could enter into the supernatural realm, and I believe that. Amen? Do we believe that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. You know, we get the head nods. Those are good. But a little amen will help me too, all right? But I was sitting back there, and I was thinking, all of a sudden I dropped down. And I wish I could explain it a better way than that, but I didn't. I dropped down, and I looked around and go, there's some people standing here, some little building in Defiance, and somebody's up there talking. Don't look like much. And I dropped down to the natural, and I went, this is what I think happens to people. This is why they don't get things from God, because they're dwelling down here in this natural. And they go, oh, it's just some, like this Wednesday, it's just Brother Stephen talking. Just some man up there talking. You know, we're just a bunch of random people that there's no reason we're even here. We're just here to occupy a building and to waste time. And I dropped down in that realm and I realized, this is what happens to people. This is why they don't get things from God. And said, God have mercy that I would ever do this. And I, you know, by faith, I got back up and said, no, sir, that is not the truth. That's the devil's lie.
Amen.
Because the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts right down in your soul every time.
Amen.
And when we come in faith in His name, He promised to be here. That means He's here. I don't got to feel Him. I don't got to see Him. I don't got to smell Him. I don't got to taste Him.
Amen.
I know He's here because He said so. And God's not a liar.
No,
He's not. Amen. Amen. So I just want to encourage you this morning to stay up in that heavenly realm. The Bible said we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you have a need, look, we're in heavenly places.
Yes,
you can get anything you want. And what we just read there right now, whatsoever you desire
Amen.
When you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them.
Amen.
And he didn't limit that to anybody. He said, whosoever. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
If I said Andrew Crustle, I might doubt that there's another. I actually know one in town that's named Andrew Crustle. I might think it's him. Maybe it's not me. But then it said, whosoever will.
Amen.
Well, that's my will. I'm willing to see God move in my life. I have faith in Him. Whatsoever I ask. He said, if I believe, I'll receive it.
Amen.
I'm not getting nowhere, but that's okay. Because I believe this. I've seen it happen just with my wife. As I shared a little bit, I'll do it again. She's sitting there having contractions. And I told her, I said, look, Ellie, we've got power over this. You need to tell this body to stop having contractions. Whatsoever I desire.
Amen.
I could have put up with it. I believe the Lord would have worked it out fine. We could have had the baby 2 months early. She could have been stuck in the hospital for who knows how long. But I didn't accept that. I didn't desire that. So the Bible says I'm allowed. I don't have to take that.
Right.
Whatsoever I desire, I can have it. If it's in the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, if you're looking at your flesh and what your flesh wants, oh, I want some new Cadillac or I want to lust after this and things like that. No, sir, you ain't going to have no faith. That's why he prefix this with have faith in God.
Amen.
You can't get started until you put your faith in God. Then you'll desire the right things automatically.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to do the things of the world. Amen. Even when you slip up, it doesn't matter. You don't want to do that. A real child of God that's born again in the Spirit, you want to do the things of God.
Amen.
So whatsoever you desire, don't think it's too big for God to handle. He gave you the desire.
Amen.
Claim it.
Yes.
Take it.
Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All these quotes I'm going to share today are coming out of Perfect Faith 63, and I have one that's not. So I'll tell you the one that's not. The rest of them, you just assume it's in Perfect Faith. Paragraph 93. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it, and it come because He was the Word. And a lot of people got faith in that. Yes, sir, John 1:1, 1:2, and 1:14. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. We believe that.
Sure.
That's why He could have perfect faith. Sure, He came, the virgin-born Son of God. He can have perfect faith. Of course we believe that. It's easy to believe when you think He's the Superman. You know, anybody got doubt if Superman really did exist, that He could run through that wall and just bust it down? No, we see Him, He's Superman. Then you take Joe Schmo, little guy, that's what Samson was, if you want to look in the Bible. Some little shrimp, curly-headed mama's boy. He walks up and takes dates, who knows, 20 feet tall, throws them on his back, walks up a hill for miles. That changes the picture a little bit. And it's the same with Jesus Christ. Yes, He was the virgin-born Son of God. Yes, He was God Emmanuel. But look, He had to believe Himself who He was. He had to believe He was the Word. Otherwise, He wouldn't have had perfect faith. But He came the Word, and He had that perfect faith. Now look what Brother Branham says here. And you become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word.
Amen.
Not a different Word. You become the same Word He is as you receive it. That's been the whole point of this. Christ and the bride are made of the same material.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, you didn't come virgin born. We came born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. But look, there was a perfect atonement made.
Amen.
That eradicated that problem. Let me show you how much this eradicated the problem. And that's it's not my notes. It came to me as I was thinking. Revelation 5. Look what this atonement did for us. Revelation 5. We start the first verse here. And I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within it and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. In this condition right now, none of us are allowed to take this book. We're not even allowed to look at it. That's how sacred it is. And as we know what the prophet taught, this was the book of redemption. That if somebody didn't take this book, we were dead. We were gone. Because the Bible said the day you sin, that day you die.
Right.
And God cannot lie. He said it. It had to be that way.
Uh-huh.
So the day Adam and Eve sinned, we all sinned because we were in Adam. That's where we came from. We were a part of Him. And as He sinned, we all sinned with Him. So we're all dead. And we're here. John is weeping much because he knows it's over. There's no point. It failed. That's what he's thinking. But we all know what happens if you've read this chapter before. Verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne." Look, this Lamb wasn't some second person. He didn't come from the clouds somewhere. He was already in the throne, and He stepped out of the throne. Because God and Jesus Christ, the same person. There's only one throne in heaven. He came out of the midst of the throne. God the Spirit became God the man. So you could see Him, you could touch Him. And because remember, it didn't say, "Is there any spirit here worthy to take the book? Is there any angel here?" That's not what the angel proclaimed. He said, "Is there a man
Amen.
Worthy to take this book?"
Right.
And out of God stepped a man,
uh-huh.
the God man. And He was worthy.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I don't know why I made notes today. We're just going to preach. Is that all right?
Amen.
I've been just bubbling up. You know, I feel like I haven't been behind this pulpit in a month. Come on. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Feels good. In the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb. as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the work. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. He was worthy. And like I said a minute ago, of course we believe he was worthy. It's a virgin born son of God, never committed sin. Even at his trial, Pilate could find nothing to accuse him for. And remember, he would have liked to. He was wanting to find something to kill him for. Right. And he couldn't do it.
Right.
That's how virtuous, pure, and clean he was. Even in the sight of people that hated him, they couldn't find nothing. And he took the book. So redemption was made. Now if we stop, there we go. Well, good, brother. You know, I'm glad to know that we had a perfect husband. What about this perfect bride you're talking about? What about this perfect church? Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 10. Let's jump down to verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. Look, John knew what book this was. Why do you think he was so timid? He had already seen what happened in Revelation 5 when the angel had already proclaimed, no man is worthy to take this book. And then he watched Christ come and take the book. And then the angel comes to him again, like we just said there in verse 8. He says, go take the little book out of his hand. Remember that book was sealed with seven seals? Christ opened the book. It became an open book in the angel's hand.
Amen.
The angel of the covenant is Christ. That's the one holding that book. Is it his right hand? I'm sorry. I want to do this the right way, Brother Ken. I appreciate you staring at my hand. And he probably won't even think of that, but that's what happened for me. Standing open with a little book in his hand. And I said unto the angel, give me the little book. And isn't that how we approach God? God, you said I could be healed. Give me my healing.
Wow. Amen.
You said I could be saved. Give me my salvation.
Amen.
And we act like we got to twist his arm to get him to do it. Amen. Like he don't want to.
Amen. That's right.
Why did he go to the cross? Why did he suffer all this stuff? If he didn't want to do these things. By his stripes we are healed. I guess he cared about your healing, didn't he?
Amen.
Or he wouldn't have took all those stripes. I'd have bypassed that too if I had a chance. Now, but he looked past it. He could see what would happen. He said for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew what would happen after that was made. After that atonement was made. Now look, he said, give me the little book. And he said, the angel said unto me, take it. Take the book. You are worthy. I know I proclaimed in Revelation 5 you weren't worthy. But look, an atonement was made.
Amen.
You are now worthy.
Yes.
The only thing Christ sees is himself when you're under the blood. He doesn't see you no more. You've dissipated away.
Amen.
The blood annihilated. Remember, it was the Clorox bleach.
Amen.
You put bleach on some ink, it's gone. You're never going to find it again. You can't go and find the molecules and put it. It's gone, eradicated. And how much more in just a little natural type, how much more do you think the blood of Christ has done for us? It is so annihilated sin that God looks at you, he doesn't know what you're talking about.
Amen.
How many times you go to him and go, God, I did this again. And he goes, what? You already repent? I don't even know what you're talking about. Look what happens. Let's go back to Mark 11 again. Let me show you why he says this. Down to verse 25, right after where I stopped reading. Look what he admonishes the disciples to do when they want to act in perfect faith. You enjoying it this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive.
Amen.
Isn't that an interesting concept? I want faith in God. I want to move mountains. And what's the first thing he told you to do? Go forgive your brother. Go do the thing you hate doing more than anything else. That brother's wrong. I'm going to let him know it. We're going to tear him up top to bottom. Woo! When you stand praying, forgive. For if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Pretty big quota right there. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I think we need to handle each other a little bit better, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to forgiving things. I'll just share this experience. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I had a man come to me just here recently. And the first thing he said, there were some things that happened between us I didn't necessarily agree with. He came to me and said, I'm sorry that I let that happen. I should have done it. I should have done it this way that the Bible says. I, right then, pretended like none of that had ever happened. Because that's what Christ did for me. When he forgave me, he said, it's like it never happened. Remember Brother Branham said, what's justification? Justification ain't forgiveness. It's as if you never did it in the first place.
Right.
So when you forgive a man, it better be from your heart. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold some little grudge saying, yeah, I forgive you, but I'm going to remember what you did to me. You know, next time you ask for something. No, you treat every man like any man that would ask you forgiveness, you let him go. Loosen. Because you're actually loosening yourself. You hold a grudge, you're the one that's going to be guilty.
Yes.
Let it go. And I did that for this man, and I praise God, because now we're brothers again. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with somebody making a mistake. I make them every day. And I ain't saying that to be humble because I'm behind the pulpit and I'm a preacher. I mean it. Every day I make mistakes. When you stand praying, forgive. Then you can have perfect faith.
Amen.
So let's get into this a little bit. What is perfect faith? You know what Brother Branham tells about the story when he spoke squirrels into existence? If you're not familiar with the story, well, that's okay. We can talk about it later. Coming out of perfect faith again, paragraph 17. Brother Russell, when he spoke to me and said about those squirrels, and that was just the very scripture I was thinking on. He's talking about Mark 11. It's always been a puzzle. He said, if ye say, not if I say, if you say it. Remember what we said earlier? Whatsoever he saith, he'll have it. Perfect faith. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not something you conjure up. Your natural body is going to think that faith is make-believe.
Right.
Every time. You're going to think you're just imagining it. Look, I had those machines around my wife. They said she's having contractions. They saying it's done. She's going to have this baby. You're going to have to go through this. You're going to have to go through that. Faith stood up and said, no, that's not what's going to happen. We're going to go home.
Amen.
And I wish I could think of other examples, but I just went through this. I've got victory today.
Amen.
Because God is the same. He wants us to ask. He said, ask abundantly that your joy may be full.
Yes, yes.
Why do you think I ask? Do we have joy? If you don't, it's because you don't want it bad enough. You should have it all the time. Ask him. He'll give it to you.
Jesus, yes, Lord.
He will. Praise. Don't even ask him in defeat. Ask him, thank you, Lord, for giving me joy. Thank you for peace. Thank you for the long suffering you've had with me and my mistakes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And look, if you don't start with faith, and if you don't end with faith, and if the whole middle ain't faith, you're getting off the path.
Amen.
It's not works. It's faith. You must believe that he has died for you. You must believe that he's redeemed you. You have to believe that he's filled you with his spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 11, let's read verse 6. I want to read this together to emphasize how important faith is. It's the whole picture, church.
Amen.
When you look at the statue of perfect man, the foundation's faith. And he said, you don't build nothing outside of this foundation. Hebrews 11, 6. Excuse me, I'm going to need another drink.
Hallelujah.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Why do you think these people in the world don't get nothing from God? They don't even believe he's really there. Even when they finally go pray, they go, well, nothing happened. But you didn't believe anything. You don't even know he exists yet. You have to believe that he is. And, conjunction, I like this, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That you're not seeking him in vain. He's not a liar. If you ask, he'll give it.
Amen.
You've got to believe. Because without faith, it's completely impossible to please God. Your life will do nothing. Unbelief is not being humble. Let me say it that way. Just because you go, oh, you know, I'm just not worthy. That's unbelief. Kick that out the door. God is not pleased with that.
No, he's not.
He's not. And he's not going to beat you over the head. He's going to get mad. I don't want to say this. It's just like if you're training a prize fighter. All right, and Muhammad Ali is the only guy I can think of in my head. I can't think of anybody that he beat up. I don't know. But anyways, we're training Muhammad Ali. And he comes to fight against me. Okay, I ain't trained none of this stuff, right? And he goes in there and he goes, man, boss, you know, I just don't know if I can beat that kid. And he's what do you think he's going to do? He said, what are you talking about? You're the world champion.
Amen.
You've trained for hours. You're twice his size. You're three times faster. You actually know what you're doing. He's a bozo. But see, if you go in there with the mental attitude, and even Muhammad, any pro athlete, if they go in with the attitude that they're defeated, they're going to lose.
That's right.
You are what you think.
Uh-huh.
So is God.
Amen.
His thoughts are who He is. His Word is who He is. Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word was God.
Was.
And think of being the coach back there going, I just can't get this guy to believe in who he is. You know how frustrating it'd be? You can train all day. We can get him stronger. We can get him faster. It doesn't matter. If he's already defeating his mind, forget the rest of it. You're wasting time.
Right.
He doesn't have faith in who he is.
Right. Amen.
That's what we're talking about, Christ. Christ had faith in who he was. When Satan came to him and tempted him, said, if you be the Son of God, cast these, make these stones bread. He didn't have nothing to prove. He knew he was the Son of God.
Amen.
If he was doubting, he's like, maybe I should try this just to make sure. You know, I need to make sure that I'm really the Son. He didn't do that. I know who I am. What do you think God's doing in your corner? Look, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you're in.
Amen.
You're in the body of Christ. You can't get out. You can try. You're just going to make your life miserable. You might as well just forget it. You're already in. And he's in the corner saying, you can do this. I have a bride without spot or wrinkle because I've already done it. See, listen to the coach.
Amen.
Hey, there's a devil tormenting me. I don't need to accept that. And it didn't say pray devils out either.
No, it didn't.
It said cast them out.
Cast them.
Which means you got authority. You say, devil, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. You got no power over me. That's what it's saying. It's that little chump fighter in the corner. That's what the devil is. He's a big blow-up guy. A lot of hot air. Looks big. He's got a big mouth, too. He talk.
Amen.
That's all he's got. You give him one good licking one time, he'll run. Did it for Jesus.
Amen.
When he was tempted in the wilderness, Satan come and try to tempt him like that. And Brother Branham said it was like touching a 10,000 volt wire when Jesus said those things. Because the Word's the power.
Amen.
This Word of God will defeat the devil anytime, any place, anywhere.
Every time.
But you've got to use it. All right, it doesn't do me much good to have an AR-15 here and I want to kill the thousand demons coming after me. And I just sit here and go, well, whatever. I'm talking spiritual AR-15, all right? Don't go naturally shooting things, trying to beat the devil. All right? But if I sit here saying, I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know. You know, it does. What are you doing? You're giving the devil the victory and he's a chump.
Amen.
You read in the book of Revelation, it said he was a white horse rider. He came impersonating Christ, Revelation chapter 6. And he said he had a bow and a crown.
But no arrows.
But no arrows. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kent. Look, I got a bow all day. What am I going to do? Whack you with it? Make a bunch of noise? That don't mean anything. You guys even shoot arrows, don't you? That don't mean nothing. You don't intimidate me at all. You put an arrow in there one time, though. Whoa. Things change. Sometimes we go with the devil that way, though.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have the sword of the Word. He knows which one's the Word, though. Don't. You come with their little pitchfork or a little pocket knife. He's going to know, that ain't the Word. I ain't afraid of that.
Yeah.
Well, you pull out that two-edged sword of the Word. He'll run. He's scared of it, all right? Because he's going to start talking to you, trying to get you to doubt it. I remember every time I could think of a man that casts out devils, the first thing the devil starts trying to say is, you can't do this. You're not going to do this to me. He's scared to death. He's trembling because he's about to be exposed.
Amen.
And if he can get him to doubt it, though, he'll win. Because it's faith versus doubt. That's the whole battle.
Amen.
It's not you being good versus you being bad. You're bad.
Amen.
Christ is good. That's the equation. It's over. Okay?
That's it.
Actually, Dad, can you go give me a church age book real quick? I'm going to read a quote out of there. While he's doing that, go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Talking about perfect faith. 2 Corinthians 3. At least I'm pretty sure I know where this quote's at. If I don't find it, I'm just going to have to paraphrase. That's okay. 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Oh, I found it. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. There you go. There's the whole Christian walk. I am nothing. Christ is everything.
Yes, He is.
But you have to identify. Where is He?
Right here.
He's in me.
Amen.
He's in me.
He's in me.
I don't got to go find him to get my sufficiency. He's already in me. That's where you get your sufficiency, from God.
Amen.
Coming out of Church Age book, listen to this. It says, be zealous and repent. Now this, he's talking about the false church first, and then I'll get to the true church, okay? Now this false church has zeal. And zeal is like a fervent desire for something. This false church has zeal. Make no mistake about that. Her zeal has literally been that of the Jews. John 2:17, the zeal of thine house hath eat me up. But it is the wrong zeal. And you go look at these churches, they're not sitting around doing nothing. They have, you know, the homeless night, they got soup supper, you can come in there, anybody that wants to, they give you a free meal. They're out passing books, Bibles, tracts, having youth functions, all this. They do it all. Sure. They're not sitting around, they got zeal. They care about what they're doing. But look at this. It's the wrong zeal. It is for the house of their own building. It is for their own creeds, dogmas, organizations, their own righteousness. They have put the word out for their own ideas. They disposed the Holy Ghost and made men into leaders. Uh-huh. We got to be careful of the same. Don't ever make a man your leader. You make the Holy Ghost your leader.
Amen.
They have put aside eternal life as a person. Oh, you want eternal life? You have to receive a person. It's not a thing. Right. Excuse me. It's Christ. He's eternal life.
Amen.
They have put aside eternal life as a person and made it. Excuse me. I don't know why I can't say this word. They have put aside eternal life as a person and make it good works or even church conformity rather than good works. But God is calling for another zeal. You want to know how to please God? Here's the zeal you need to have.
Amen.
It is the zeal to cry, I am wrong.
Wow. Amen.
Changes the picture, don't it? When you come to God, don't come up saying, oh, you know, I prayed today finally, Lord. Finally, right? Because we failed all the other times. I finally did it today. Where's my blessing? No, you come the other day, you didn't pray and say, Lord, I forgot to pray again. I'm still a sinner saved by grace, but I'm coming to you because you died in my place. You made me righteous, and you said in your word I could have whatsoever I ask. So this sickness needs to go in my body.
Amen.
This unbelief needs to go.
Amen. Amen.
And this thing that's even keeping me from praying, I'm sick and tired of it. Get it out of my life.
Amen.
You can't kick it out. Go ahead and try.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you an eternity to try to clean yourself up. Go ahead. All you're going to do is realize I'm dirty. And I get dirtier every time I try to make cleaner.
Amen.
And it's just like the light. You turn the light off in the house, there can be stuff all over the place. You don't know. Looks clean. Turn the light on a little bit, you go, oh, I kind of see if you see the big objects, so let's go pick those up.
Uh-huh.
Turn it on about like this. Oh, okay, you know, I see some dust on the floor. You get real bright in here, you're going to see the dust all in the air. It's everywhere.
Right
now, there's dust all over this place.
Mm-hmm.
Just when I did that, I bet there's waves of dust flowing around, if you could see it. But the light is what shows that.
Right.
So as you get closer to Christ,
amen,
the light gets brighter.
This does.
We'll walk in the light as He is in the light.
Amen.
And you recognize how filthy you are. And then what it should do to us is not put us in condemnation like we like to do. What it should do to us is go, wow, my sufficiency really is completely of God.
Amen.
Completely. Like I have nothing to offer Him, even if I wanted to. But He said I could do these things. It must mean that He's made me worthy. Amen. Praise be to God.
Sure, amen.
Whew.
Yes, Lord.
Man, we've already covered all that. All right. Perfect faith 94. Listen closely now. Now watch. Now, and He said to us, if ye abide in me, and my word in you, St. John here, you can ask what you will, it'll be done. Then, recognize your position in the Scripture as a believer. He doesn't say recognize your position in Scripture as a sinner. Okay? When you know you're gonna read the Bible, you're gonna see where it talks about the doom and gloom, and you're gonna see where it talks about the blessed. He says, recognize yourself on this side of the equation.
Amen.
Now, if you're living with sin in your life and you think that's alright, it's time to repent. It's time to get that garbage out. But if you know that in your heart, I didn't want to do that, God forgive me. Put yourself over here in the believers.
Yes.
That's what you are.
Every day, amen.
See, you've got to recognize your position as He recognized His position. God is not asking you to do something He didn't do Himself. Christ didn't come as a Superman. We got to get that out of our head. He had to believe in who He was.
Amen.
How could He have endured that if He didn't know, I am going to raise? You think you could have gone through that if He didn't know, if He had any little doubt that He was the Son of God? No way. No way. But He did. Let's get me down to paragraph 97. Now, you must believe what you ask for. If you are a believer, recognize yourself as a believer. Look at this. Recognize that these things are for you. They're for you. He didn't give it to the world. He didn't give this message to the worldly churches. He gave it to you. You think you'd
have some revelation like, whoa, why did God go all the way around the world and come to me and pull me out?
Amen. That's right.
We're right here in the middle of Defiance. Kyle, how many churches do you think in this town?
30?
Probably. There's 5 right around here. How come we're here? How come I don't believe like the Catholic Church does? And that ain't no fault. I'm not trying to condemn the people now. I always said it this way. I had somebody come to me, even in a youth group, saying, you know, what about Catholics? Are they going to be saved? And I said, well, let me say it like this. Just because he's Catholic don't mean anything. They don't. No, he's got, he don't care if you call yourself whatever. I said, but if he believes what they teach, they're heading the wrong way. He can't get there. It's just a matter of fact. It's not because he's Catholic. It's because of what he's trying to believe will not bring him to eternal life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Not the church. Not where they want to change the word, make it say whatever they want to. They got their own creeds and dogmas. You've left the word. The word is not just a book. It's a person. And that's Christ. The second you add a word, you take a word out of this Bible and you believe it, you've left Christ. Amen. So you can't go the right way. He's the way. So when it comes to all these, I'm not condemning them and stuff. I'm saying, why did God come to us and give us the right path? It's because these things are for you.
Amen.
Whatsoever you believe, ask.
Amen.
That was given in this day. Even the prophet, until it happened to him, he didn't understand it. He said, how can I? He said, yeah, I can see the Lord saying something through me. He said, when he comes down and says, thus say the Lord, of course that's going to happen. But look, this was me saying it. Now, he came and challenged him. I got that quote. I want to read that. I know I got it here. Paragraph 188, paraphrase. The great physician who is here, who said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. And if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but can believe. If he can create squirrels who has no way at all or nothing there to believe, it's my own faith that goes and does that. My faith in what he challenged me to ask. Did you catch that? My faith in what the Lord challenged him to ask. He says, you're in need of squirrels. Where do you want them? Now see, that's the thing. We can't skip that step. Okay, you're not going to have third pull faith and just, oh, you know, I'm just going to go get whatever I want all the time. You see what I'm saying? There's a voice inside of us, which is the Holy Ghost, will tell us what to ask.
Right.
Like Hattie Wright.
That's right.
Brought the prophet of God, third pull came down there too. Said, whatever you want, ask it. The Holy Spirit knew what she would ask. She could have asked for millions of dollars.
Sure.
But that's the thing. The Spirit knows what to ask for. She asked for 2 souls, which are worth more than 10,000 worlds.
Amen.
Apiece, according to Jesus' word. He said, I had faith in what he challenged me to ask. He challenged me to ask it. Think of the responsibility on your shoulders. The Lord's coming to you. Now look, people are going to doubt this experience. He's out in the wilderness by himself. You don't think he's going to feel like he looks crazy? And even when he talks about the experience, a lot of times he says, I felt like I was talking to myself. It's like, but I might as well go for it. I'm this far along now. Might as well just keep going. And the Lord sure enough brought his word to pass. He challenged me to ask it. And I received his challenge in obedience to his word. I asked it and it appeared.
Amen.
I asked it and it appeared.
Amen.
Look, every time you ask for something, don't expect to not have a doubt try to come through your mind. It will.
Amen.
Don't think that's you. That ain't you.
No, it's not.
As we read in Romans 7, that's sin that dwelleth in me. Overcome that law.
Amen.
By the law of God. Don't let that dictate your decision. But the second you believe it, you've lost it.
Amen.
Your faith is gone. Once you grab unbelief, you've left faith.
Amen.
And you won't get what you ask. But if you'll just hold on. Anything contrary. Look, Abraham had a reason to doubt. He's 100 years old. The Lord tells him he's going to have a son. His wife ain't never had children. She's 90 years old. All these doubts. I'm sure there's plenty of doubts that came by and said, this ain't going to happen, boy. You're crazy.
Amen.
Did he? In the Bible accounts, he said he never listened to it. Because God promised it, it's going to happen.
Amen.
He pushed that all aside. He kept believing. If he had doubted, it never would have happened. But look at the foreknowledge of God. He said, I picked Abraham because I know what he'll do. He'll teach his sons my word. He'll be faithful in all that he does. And look, what do you think you are? If he came out, like I said, out of nowhere and picks you up. And brings you into himself. He had a purpose in doing that.
Amen.
Conquer the devil already, will we?
Amen.
Let's stop letting him push us around and tell us we're going to have to suffer this. I'm going to have to go through this. That's just the way it is. No, sir.
Amen.
If you don't have the joy of the Lord, it's time to kick the devil out of your life. Because that's all it is. It's some unbelief somewhere creeping in.
Praise God.
It's something bringing you down that don't need to be there. Get that old faith muscle out. Sock him one in the face.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Praise.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Now, perfect faith.
I listened to Brother Neville one time, was Brother Branham's, or the pastor at Branham Tabernacle for a while, and he was preaching. I wish I could remember where it was and stuff, but he said something like this. He said, you know, Jesus said, if you have faith of a mustard seed, say this mountain and it'll obey you. He said, look, it's not about getting more faith, it's just about getting faith. Because we don't need a whole, you know what I'm saying? You just need to get the real thing. The real faith works. Amen. All the time. So I'm not here to make perfect faith sound like some, you know, okay, we got faith, but perfect faith is way up here. No, faith is perfect faith.
Right.
That's what we want. Perfect faith, okay? I don't want nothing less than what the perfect faith is supposed to be. Paragraph 51, now listen to this. Now we see the first the disciples didn't have perfect faith. They didn't have it because they had Christ walking with them, but then afterwards Christ was in them. And so you see, it's hard. It's hard then to have this perfect faith without the Holy Spirit. It has to bring it. It does. So yeah, if you don't got the Holy Spirit, forget it. You're not going to have perfect faith. You're going to doubt. You're going to doubt God's word. You're going to believe the lies of the devil. That's just the way it's going to be. But if you have perfect faith, let's listen to this. Now you say, the disciples didn't have perfect faith? No. They had an epileptic child there, and they were trying to cast this devil out of him, and they couldn't do it. Do you remember the story?
Yes.
I think it's in, I had it here somewhere. It's in Matthew chapter 17. They bring up the boy to Jesus because he said the disciples couldn't cast it out. And Jesus didn't say like, it's all right, buddies, I got this. You want to know what Jesus' reaction was? I'll read it to you. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? So, look, he wasn't happy about this. Okay? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Just imagine. You picture, this is how he said this. You faithless generation. His disciples, remember, he just told them a minute ago, go cast out devils, go raise the dead, go heal the sick, go cleanse the lepers.
Amen, that's right.
It's freely received, freely give it. He already gave them the power.
Amen.
And what did they walk out there? And let the devil still be.
Yeah.
Why? Because Jesus was just with them.
Right.
And that's not enough. A lot of people have Jesus with them, even in their services. They don't got Christ on the inside, but they feel his presence come down and they get results.
Amen.
Not all the time, like they're supposed to, but they'll get some. That's not what perfect faith is all about. Perfect faith is master of all circumstance.
Amen.
We'll get to that in a minute. Now, let me finish this quote. It says, disciples didn't have perfect faith. No, they had an epileptic child, and they were trying to cast this devil out of him, and they couldn't do it. And the father, seeing Jesus coming, he said, we have brought my son to your disciples, and they could not cure him, see? And afterwards, the disciple asked, saying, why could we not cure him? So here you go. Here's your formula why we can't do these things when they fail.
They didn't believe.
Jesus said, because of the lack of faith, your lack of faith, of your unbelief. That's right, because of your unbelief. There's your answer. You don't believe.
Amen.
Quit being prideful in just a minute. I didn't believe it that time, but I'm going to believe it now, and it's going to happen. Amen. Paragraph 55. Now remember, they had power. Let's look at this. This is just. Jesus had given them the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils just a few days before that. They had the power, but not the faith to use the power. Now there's the Branham Tabernacle. Woo! We think of, oh, Brother Branham's church, of course, they did it all the time. He said, nope, there's the Branham Tabernacle. We got all the power laying right here and no faith to use it. God have mercy.
Amen.
Now look, he don't stop there either. He goes, there's the church, the bride today. Holy Spirit's here with the power, but you haven't got the faith to move it. See?
Amen.
See what I mean? It takes faith to move it. That's all you need. Now, that's what I like how Stephen said. It's just only belief.
Amen.
So it just depends on how you look at this. If you go, faith's the only thing we need, man, but faith is just way, oh man, we're never going to get. No, you need to look at it. Faith's the only thing I need.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't got to be good for a whole week. I don't got to fast all 14 days of the year or what. You know, I don't have to do that. Now, if the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, that's fine. Obey Him. But don't make it as your quota to get prayers answered.
Right, amen.
Amen? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, let's look at... there you go. There's what perfect faith doesn't look like. Okay? When something comes up, you try to do something and nothing happens. And sometimes we think, maybe we'll dogpile them. You know, let's dogpile this devil. Son Skiba tried that one time, remember? It's like, there's seven of us. We all just get in there with all our unbelief. There's seven of us, though. There's only one devil. We should be able to do this. How many times have you seen that happen? Well, let's get the whole church together to pray for this, and then we Did anything happen? That's what I said. We don't pray devils out. We cast them out.
Yes.
We don't ask them, please, Mr. Devil, would you please leave this body that's going to die so we don't get you out of here? No, it's Satan. Get your hand off this child of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, he'll listen. He has to. Satan, or Satan's boss is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you recognize that Jesus Christ is right here,
Amen.
And that me and him are one,
Amen.
That he's my husband, I'm his wife, we got a boss sitting around that tells people what to do.
Amen.
He tells the devil what to do. But what's he waiting on? He gave you the authority. He wanted to share his glory with you.
Yes, he does.
It's just like, I'll use my dad for example. My dad's played guitar his whole life almost. What he wanted me to play, he's not mad if I don't get better than him. He wants me to get better than him. He wants me to keep trying and to excel past that. What do you think God did with his children? He said, look, I've stopped storms. I've cast out devils. He multiplied the blood of the fishes. And he said, but... And I'll read this, St. John 5:19. Nope, sorry, that's wrong. St. John 15:5. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So look, he knew, I'm going to come in you. Because without me you can't do anything. But I'm going to come in you, and you're going to bear much fruit.
Amen.
Because I already said it.
Yes.
He said, when the Holy Ghost come upon you, you're going to be my disciple.
Right.
You're going to be my witness.
True.
Don't matter what you try to do about it. You try to hold the Holy Ghost back. People go, no, that guy's a Christian. I mean, no matter how many times you make mistakes, you beat yourself up, you go out of those sinners and go, man, look, they'll talk you up like you ain't, like you number one guy in the world. Because they ain't going to lie. They know. The devils knew who Jesus was. They knew who Jesus was better than the church people.
That's right.
And you son of God, you come to torment us before the time. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of Israel. They already know.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because he kicked them in the face every day. They know who he is. That's why people are like, well, I believe in God. I was like, so is the devil. He gets beat up every day by him. Of course you know the guy that kicks you around all the time. Now look, Jesus doesn't stop with that. He said he'd come in us and he said we'd bear much fruit. What kind of fruit? John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Uh-huh.
It's right there. It's a promise. Look at the works Jesus did. Don't put that way off on him. That he's the only one that can do that. He said right there, his own word. If you can't do the works he did, he's a liar.
Amen.
Put it that way for a little bit. You see, it changes perspective. And he don't stop there. Excuse me, he doesn't stop there either. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. Christ purposely, I believe he could have. He could have done any work that we could have done. He could have done everything. He's Almighty God. But he left works that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Just because. He ain't prideful. Sometimes we think that. God's got a bunch of pride. He ain't got nothing to prove. He's God. He was there before you anything ever got here. He was still there. So he knows what he's created. He knows the devil's a little squatter. He's going to push him around anytime he wants to. But he lets him do things. He allows him to come after you once in a while. He might let a little sickness come on you just to see what you'll do about it.
Amen.
He wants you to have faith. He don't want to do it all the time for you. You don't learn that way. You see what I'm saying? You stay a little spoiled brat. Mommy's doing everything for you all the time, or daddy, or whatever. You'll never learn anything. You got to let them go make a mistake. You learn a lot faster, too. I tell you. Put your hand on a hot stove once, you don't touch stove no more.
Sure.
Before that, you might have to say it every single time. You know, don't touch that stove, get away. And they're just trying to take your word for it. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? God came to him and said, look, you need to stay away from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it was always, well, I don't know. And they tried it. They tried it one time. I'm telling you right now, they wouldn't have done it again. After they came from that blissful paradise and had to drop down and sweat and bow, have terrible, watch things die and just horrible life compared to what they had. Do you think they would have done it again? They said, no, God was right. The devil, you're a liar. You know, we figured that out. This is terrible.
Amen.
And that just shows you the condition of the end time. Because you think people would recognize, look, I'm miserable. I need something. But they don't. What do? Go find entertainment. Find something to pacify that desire that they're really insane.
That's right.
What do? That we talked about video games and things like that. What happens? They actually go there. They actually live their life inside of that. That game or that movie or whatever. You become that thing because you're trying to get away from your own reality.
Sure.
But if you'll just let the Lord come and say, wait, whoa. And look, I deal with it too. Don't let me kid you. I'm not preaching on everybody. I just had this happen to me. I had to back and go, wait a minute. This isn't real. None of this is real. What's real is Christ.
look, he's coming back.
Amen.
Really? And like, things are going to change.
Yes,
really? Going to happen.
Glory.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Depends on what side you're on. If I'm on the side of glory, I feel pretty good. But if we're sitting here dealing down with things in the world, you're not going to feel good about it. You're going to go, oh, God have mercy, man. This is, come back to perfect faith. What's the zeal God wants from us? I am wrong.
Amen.
Pretty easy at that point.
You are right.
Now look, you start pushing the devil around, you get a reputation with him, okay? Because one time, we talk about the sons of Sceva, how they tried to cast that devil out and they couldn't do it. Later they came to Paul, and this is Acts 19:15, I'll just say this, and the evil spirit answered and said, he's talking to a devil now, the devil says this, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, talking about the sons of Sceva, I know Paul, he beats me too, okay, he casts me out all the time, but who are ye?
Yeah.
So the sons of Sceva, like I said, the dog pile technique doesn't work. Because if they don't have the representation in Christ, he don't got to listen.
No.
But if you can identify, as we talked about the bride's name, identify not with your name. Don't say that. I'm not Andrew Kressel. I'm Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm Mrs. Jesus Christ. That's who I am.
I am.
So when Satan comes on my door, he gets kicked out. I don't care if I have to live in Sodom. Sodom stops at my door.
Amen.
That's the door of my heart. That's the door of my son, my wife, my family, even this body. Sodom stops at the door.
Uh-huh.
He don't affect us. Daniel did the same thing. He purposed in his heart. I will not defile myself with the king's meat.
Amen.
I don't care if I got to live in the middle of Babylon. And that's where we're living. Get used to it, I guess. These things aren't going away. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Amen.
And even when things will even look good, it's just false.
That's right.
Satan, that's all he ever does, is just bluff people. Oh, here's this, you know, it's just like eating junk food. Oh, it tastes so good. Or you keep eating it for a while, you'll die.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be miserable. You'll be terrible. Look, if we would just eat right, people would be a lot happier.
Right.
I mean, seriously, that it really does. It affects our whole being
right.
When we eat a bunch of garbage. Your brain don't function right. You're not producing, because they even look into the different elements that cause joy and things like that. That when you live that lifestyle, it's gone. Your body won't produce it no more.
Right.
And then it actually, when I learn those things, it helps me to have compassion. He can't help it. He's miserable. You want to know what makes you the most miserable person in the world? Be selfish. You want to be the most depressed person in the world? Be selfish every time. You'll never have any joy. How do we prove that? Jesus lived his whole life for others. That's what kept him going. Even when everybody came against him, hoping he would die, didn't have any friends, he kept living for others.
Yes, he did.
And you want to feel good, and don't do it because you want to feel good, but I'll just tell you, it's going to happen anyway. You do something for somebody else, you're going to feel good about it.
Yes, you do.
And if we would, like, I think of this. You think about yourself, look, you're going to be the only one thinking about yourself, and nobody else cares about a selfish person. You have to force yourself to try to do something for a selfish person.
Right.
But see, and if you let that go and everybody lived for others, look, you'd have 6 billion people thinking about you. Because they're all thinking about others.
Amen.
See, it's just the devil. He's just getting our minds all twisted up. I got to protect. We'll do that with our experience. I've got to protect my experience with God. You ain't got to do nothing. You need Christ. And you know what? You might need a brother or sister too once in a while. That's okay. Humble yourself and say, God, I need help. I need somebody to pray with me. And I just want to say this now, and I feel a little ashamed that I forgot this. Thank you for praying for us. And it wasn't just you all. There's plenty of others I knew were praying for us. I believe God answered that. It wasn't just our faith. I believe that. I don't have no shame in asking people to pray for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I don't need you to pray. I got enough faith by myself. No, you don't, because you're in pride now.
Amen.
You know? There ain't no way you have faith and pride at the same time. That's the devil.
Amen.
Amen. Talking about perfect faith. How can you have perfect faith? Where's the bottom line, brother? It's the whole title of all that we talk about. That's how you have perfect faith. That's it. Believe in who you are.
Amen.
Believe in who Christ is, and believe in what he has done for us.
Amen. Amen.
That's it. That's it. If you can put your faith in that and recognize that faith doesn't work by fear, faith works by love.
Amen. Amen.
And the reason you have faith is because God loves you.
Yes.
Remember, you can't even have your own faith. It's the gift of God.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. So the fact that you can even have faith proves God loves you.
Amen.
Or he wouldn't have gave it to you.
You believe that.
Amen.
Perfect love casts out all fear. Don't let fear control you. Don't say, oh, if I pray, that might not happen. That's fear. Cast that aside. It might not happen this second, but faith that it's going to happen. It has to happen. There's no time with God. Look, and he's a good story writer. Look, we still had to go through that trial this last weekend. I'm okay with that because he already knew what the end would be. He'd get the glory.
Amen.
Amen. And I appreciate that for him out of the Lord. That he don't just come like this, like some, that'd be a terrible father. You gave your child, every time they ask you something, you just give it to him, just give it to him, just give it to him. You're a terrible father. You ain't teaching them nothing.
Right.
But if you know when to give something, you know when to give away a little time so they can learn. The Lord's the best father we could ever ask for. And he does the same thing for us.
Glory to Jesus.
Even you read the story of Job. Everybody familiar with Job and how God allowed everything he had to be taken away. And Brother Branham doesn't attribute that all to God. Watch this. It says in the book of Job, it said here, it's perfect faith again. Job feared. And what he feared, it actually happened. What brought it? His fear. That's what made it happen. Watch this. His faith would have kept him from it. But his fear brought him. It brought it to him. He was scared it was going to happen. And it did happen. So don't those thoughts come like, oh, you know, this terrible thing's going to happen. You keep thinking that, it will happen. Because unbelief is just faith on the wrong side.
Right.
You want to believe that you're going to get cancer and die? You start telling yourself that every single day. You're going to get cancer. And you're going to die. Because you're putting faith in the devil.
Right.
Terrible.
That's right.
Terrible that we would do that when Christ has so freely given us all these
That's
things.
Right.
His faith would have kept him from, but fear brought it to him. He was scared it was going to happen, and it happened. Now, if he had known it wouldn't have happened, it wouldn't have happened. See, his faith could have said, this ain't going to happen to me. I believe it. And it wouldn't have happened. Now watch this, paragraph 103. If you're afraid when you come by the prayer line, maybe I just ain't got faith sufficient. It'll never happen. Don't worry, see? Don't even worry. Because if you know it's going to happen, it'll happen. That's it. It's up to you. It ain't Christ's fault. You don't get healing. You don't got joy. You don't got salvation. You don't got the Holy Ghost. It ain't his fault. He ain't keeping these good things from us. It's your faith.
Yes, it is.
You didn't even, most time we don't even ask.
Amen.
He said, ask that your joy might be full. And that's what we need to be doing. It's faith that does the healing. It's faith that does it all the time. And we even look at Brother Branham's gift. We think, man, if that gift was just here, you know, if that gift was just here, oh my, we would be still doing all those wonderful things. And I thank God that he sent that gift to prove to us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because without this message, I don't know what I'd believe. No clue. This message has taken away all my doubts in the Word of God. This Word is perfectly written the way it is, and it's every bit true.
Amen.
But look, he even said that gift isn't what gets these people healed. The gift doesn't get them healed. The gift gives them the faith to get healed. Because they come up and he says, look, your name's so-and-so. You live in this place. You have this disease. Pretty easy to go, well, you must know I'm healed. But here's the thing. Let's look at this and really what it is. God told a man something about you. Don't we know that God already knew that?
Sure.
Not a big thought to me to think God knows my name. Of course he does.
Uh-huh.
God knows where I live? Well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So why is it such a crazy thought to think he would tell another man? Why do I need that to happen to have faith? It just shows you how foolish it is that we would ever doubt. He already knows all these things. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. Ask.
Amen.
Ask him.
Amen.
Now, I'm just going to finish with this quote here. It said, then... won't your love reach back? Actually, I gotta go back a little bit. I'm skipping something. Let's read. Yeah, let's just read this as we close. Per faith, 133. He caught me when I was nothing. I'm still nothing, but I'm in his hand. Now look, you've got to put faith in that. That Lord, I was nothing when you came and saved me. I'm still nothing right now, but I'm in his hand. See, he caught me. And he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable, but he changed you.
Yes, he did.
Just like the color sister said that time in her testimony, she said, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But praise God, I'm not what I used to be. And he says a little bit different there, but you understand the quote. She said she had come somewhere, something happened. And that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me. Now look, you were his enemy. He so loved you till he stooped down to get me and pick me up. That gives me confidence that he wants to use me.
Amen.
That's where you get your confidence. Wow. Look at what a wretch you were, and he didn't care.
Amen.
Right. Think about how clean he was and how dirty you were, and he scooped down there and says, I don't care. I love him too much. I'm going to get him. I'm going to pull him out of that.
Jesus, praise you.
Just think about it. Put yourself in the context. You just took a bath, just clean shaved, did all that stuff. You got your Sunday's best on. And there's a man in a pile of mud and manure and puke and filth. And you're saying, and he's going, I'm dying. Help me. The only way you can go do that is you really love that man.
Uh-huh.
And that's what Christ did. He jumped right there in the middle of sin and just pulled out all his lost children.
Amen.
And he already did it. You know, don't worry about that. He already did it. You just got to accept it.
Amen. That's good.
Gives me confidence that he wants to use me. He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me. He's seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Look at the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions he could have took besides you. But he took you. Amen. No one can take your place.
No way.
You have a special spot in the kingdom.
Amen.
Only you can be there. Amen. You're in God's economy. No one can do it. That's his love to you.
Love you.
Then won't your love reach back to him? And there's a love affair. No matter what the situation is, its circumstances is governed by the love that creates faith. That God loves you, and you love God, and you love one another. And that brings the faith. Let's stand together. I thank God for revealing his word to us. As the prophet said in Mark 11, whatsoever you'd say unto this mountain, I would have doubted. I said the same thing with him. That's been a puzzle to me. How could that be true? How could that be true? I'm a sinful man. As Peter said, he said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I've made mistakes after I got the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Yes.
But in the blood, Christ don't look at that stuff. He's not worried about that. He wants to see your faith. Let's bow our heads together.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Now look, don't sit on the Word of God. You have a need. We know that he's the same. And all he wants from us is to say, Lord, I believe what you have said. Even this morning, Lord, that this perfect faith has been given to us. If you have a need, I pray that you would raise your hand to him in perfect faith, saying, Lord, I'm sad. I'm depressed. I have a need. I'm sick in my body. But Lord, you said you'd give me these things if I asked. Lord, I want to be a better witness for you. I want a life more surrendered to you. I want to be able to spend more time with you, Lord. And I just can't seem to do it. Lord, but my heart wants to do those things. And just raising my hands to you, saying, Lord, give me this. By faith, I believe you said whatsoever I desire, you'd give it. And I desire a closer walk. I desire you to be able to do the supernatural through my life. If you pray those things to him, believe that he has promised to give it to you, and it'll leave.
Oh,
let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you for perfect faith, Lord, that you sent us a message to show us that perfect faith is still here. Father, help us to stand on this word everywhere we would go, to never doubt what you have said, to never settle for the devil's lie. Father, I just bind the devil in the name of Jesus Christ that would hinder these people, Lord, from being able to serve you to the full capacity you've given to your children. Father, we know you're coming soon, and you promised the third pole would move in the bride. We believe it's going on right now amongst us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for restoring us back to the same faith. Help us to walk in it, Father. Just eradicate all our unbelief. Bring us in perfect fellowship with you by the atonement. Father, we thank you for these things. We thank you for speaking to us this morning. We just ask that we would go in this in perfect faith now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. I believe this, church. I believe it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't never need to doubt him. I don't need to ever think or reason with God's word. What he said is the truth, and I believe it, and I'm going to walk in it. Look, it's manifesting time. I want to sing that. Let's sing it's manifesting time. It's time to quit sitting on God's word. It's time to put it to the action. Put it to the truth. Okay, all right, number 320. If you want to follow that in your book. I'm ready to worship God. Even if you don't think you've got it now, but you've claimed it, he promised you'd have it. Let's give him praise. It's manifesting time. Go ahead, Dad.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes, sweeping over the mountain.
Chosen bride. You need to realize that you're the chosen bride. He wasn't picking garments. He went and grabbed himself. That's who you are. That's who you are, church. And the manifestation time is in you. We're not looking for Christ to physically come back. He's coming in us, and that'll bring us back to him. Amen. Let's sing that together. Sing that chorus. Oh, yes, Lord. It's manifesting time. The fruits are on the vine, the lovely one. He's coming and playing here. Oh, you cap God's chosen bride. The redemption draweth nigh. That he's that lovely one. He's coming. I want to sing that first verse one more time. That first verse.
The voice of my beloved. Behold, he quickly comes. Sweeping over the mountain, over that hill he rides. I long to hear his voice. I long to hear him say, arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Hallelujah. It's manifested time. The fruits are on the vine. The lovely one is coming. Playing you, oh, to cap God's chosen bride, redemption drawing now. He's that lovely one, he's coming in playing you.
Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise you, Lord! Praise you, Lord!
I'll tell you.